I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The Fall of the House of Tsarnaev. That's the title of a big Boston Globe investigative story that was published this weekend. It digs into the family history of Tamerlan and Johar Tsarnaev, the brothers accused of setting off the deadly Boston Marathon bombs in April. Tamerlan Tsarnaev died after a shootout with police. The younger brother, nicknamed Johar, is in jail awaiting trial on charges of murder and using weapons of mass destruction. The five-month investigation offers new details about the brothers and the deeply dysfunctional family that produced them. The Globe's Sally Jacobs and Patricia Wen wrote the story with David Filipov. Jacobs focused her research on the older brother, Tamerlan, and reports that he suffered from mental health issues.
What we learned was that his mother, Zubedat, told a friend of hers in 2008 that her son had said to her that he was hearing two voices within. And the friend said, wow, you should get some help for that. And Zubedat said, no, he's okay. So on the one hand, she was aware of it and was concerned enough that she mentioned it, but didn't want to get treatment for Tamerlan, who was the pride and joy of the family. What we did find was that Tamerlan talked about these voices to another individual, which is an elderly man named Donald Larking, and he met him in the mosque in Cambridge. And for whatever reasons, the two of them found sort of a common political ground. And over the course of a year or two, Tamerlan confided in him that he heard these voices. He described them as a voice that was telling him to do things that he didn't want to do. He was clearly worried, afraid at that point about what the voice was saying.
So, Patricia, you write the article really that focuses on Johar. What do we learn new about Johar? I mean, he's the living one. He's going to be facing trial. What do you add to the story that we don't know yet?
Yeah, I think the public perception of Johar is that he was this captain of the wrestling team in high school. He was the honor student. He got a scholarship. Sort of this great, wholesome kid, and suddenly, almost overnight, he becomes a bomber. And my goal was to try to sort of connect the dots in between, if I could. And I think in my mind, after doing all the research, I realized that to connect the dots, you had to focus on his 2 years in college. When I spoke to people who knew him in college, I began to see how he became quite destabilized when he got to UMass Dartmouth. And at that point, he had lost sort of the sense of structure that he had from his high school years. He became much more of a thrill seeker. He started to become a major high-volume pot dealer. I mean, we're not talking about a little bit, but, you know, $1,000 a week or more. You know, he definitely dabbled in psychedelic drugs, drove very fast. I mean, he seemed to enjoy sort of being this daredevil. And he also had this another disconnect is that he clearly felt that UMass Dartmouth was sort of beneath him. I think he sort of inherited that sense from his family that, you know, this was a family that was going to do great things. They were larger than life. They dreamed big. And he would tell friends that he was on the verge of going to Northeastern or UMass Amherst, schools that had rejected him, actually, when he applied as a senior.
Now, with Johar at UMass Dartmouth, I mean, he had a lot of buddies who seemed to fall into this similar profile. A lot of hyphenated American names, people mm-hmm. from abroad, first-generation kids, a lot of drugs. What did you pull away from all of that and the group that he surrounded himself with?
When I think about Johar's sort of overall life, I see him as he's the youngest of four, and I feel he sort of flew below the radar in this family that clearly had major issues, a chaotic home. But he was, you know, basically born as a fairly good kid, I think. He had a nice disposition, smart, sweet. I think when he got to UMass Dartmouth, you know, his parents by then had gone to Dagestan. I think that he needed to form a new family. And I think that these friends of his, they became his new universe.
I mean, the narrative kind of goes quiet in the month or so right before the bombings. Why do you think Johar looked for that solace, that family inclusion that he wasn't getting from classmates with his brother? I mean, is that what happened?
I don't get the sense that Johar was super emotionally close to his brother. My sense is they live very separate lives. I mean, if actions speak louder than words, Tamerlan was always telling his brother there at that point to pray more, to be more devout, to not drink, not smoke. Johar defied that. He led a life that was very different. I think it was no secret to Tamerlan that his brother defied his values. So that's why I have to say it does not ring true to me that Johar was sort of this docile, meek young brother, you know, was told by his brother to go set some bombs and go do that. I think the final dot as to sort of, as you say, the month before, how did Johar decide to sign up for this?
Yeah, that's really curious.
Right. All I can think of is that Jahar at that time realized a lot of his life is sort of closing in on him. He's getting basically kicked out of UMass Dartmouth. I think that with all these things closing in on him, I feel somehow he realized that UMass Dartmouth wasn't even a physical home for him anymore. He was going to have to move back with his brother. I think there was kind of this perfect storm of things. Do I think that Jahar would have chosen to set bombs and use jihad language on his own? No. I think that Tamerlan provided sort of the ideological template for what happened. And somehow their psychological needs converged. And I think that on his own, could Tamerlan have detonated two bombs nearly simultaneously? I actually wonder whether Tamerlan had the intellectual, organizational wherewithal to do that.
Sally Jacobs, you think your investigation brings us any closer to understanding what led to the Boston Marathon bombings?
I think it certainly provides a deeper look at the why and the how of it. Does it answer it specifically? What did they do that day? What was their motive the day before? Probably not. But I hope that our story explains how they got to the point of desperation. As Patty has explained, it was a perfect storm. Just as Jahar had lost everything in many ways, so had Tamerlan, and they aligned together out of desperation.
I think our listeners may come as a surprise to some of them that the narrative you put forth really turns down the volume on terrorism. If anybody in parts of the U.S. aside from Boston thought, oh, more crazy terrorists. I mean, it really feels like the story of immigrants who come to this country and are somehow lost. It doesn't work out for them. Did that surprise you?
I think it's important to qualify that certainly not all immigrants whose lives are a struggle are going to turn to terrorism or bombing, obviously. This was a family that was profoundly dysfunctional in many ways. You know, their father had experienced some real trauma of some kind, apparently. Their mother was an extreme character. And in the end, all of the children failed in some way. You know, they all had encounters with the law. They all had difficulties. Only two of them graduated from high school. This family structure collapsed in a way that at the end, you know, these two young men were desperate. And in a kind of a final peak here, they had lost their apartment. They had to move out. This was the place they had lived for 10 years. In an odd way, it was kind of the structure of the family physically, and they were going to go. So I think they really were lost by then.
What's next for Jahar Tsarnaev?
Eric Holder, within the next month or so, I believe, is going to decide whether the death penalty would be an option for jurors should there be a trial. I have to believe some sort of plea deal is in the minds of these people, for sure, on both sides, and I don't know how that will play out.
Patricia Wen and Sally Jacobs, along with reporter David Filipov, wrote the investigative articles in the Boston Globe about the Tsarnaev family this weekend. We'll link to it at PRI.org. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.